listening to In the Name of God from Kingdom Come Trust in Belfast, Northern Ireland, an international faith-based show comprising music, news and interviews from all over the world.
Hi, I'm Raymond McCulloch, and now in our fifth show of the new series, we have music from Ireland, California and Ireland. We have an interview with a Palestinian priest, Abuna Elias Shakur, now appointed Archbishop of the Melkite Church in Israel. And of course, we have our usual faith-based news feature, Bread News International. We introduced the show today with a wee tune called County Clare from Northern Exposure, a band from right here in Northern Ireland. We're going to have some more music shortly, but first, let me introduce today's guest, Abuna Elias. Elias Shakur was the first Palestinian priest to be appointed in Galilee, 19 years after the State of Israel came into being. The Israeli military had deliberately destroyed his family's home village, Biram, in northern Galilee, forcing his father and brothers into exile, and he had every reason to be a bitter opponent of Israel. Instead, he has been a major force for peace and reconciliation, building the only college in Israel today where Muslims, Druze, Christians and Jews both learn and teach together. He has written two books and spoken in many nations. I spoke to him in his office in Mar Elias College in Galilee.
Well, here we are in the Mar Elias Educational Institutions. It's a very unique institution that I was privileged to build it with my hands and with the collaboration of so many other friends, local and international. And it was destined from the very beginning to create a role model where Palestinian Christians, Muslims, Druze, and Jewish people can work together and can study together. And with the blessing of God, we reached our goal somehow. Now you go to the recreation place in the school, you would not know who's Christian, who's Muslim, who's Jewish, who's Druze. We are all there like a very beautiful mosaic. We do not convert each other to any other religion, but we try to convert ourselves to each other and to God. And that's very beautiful. As well as on the faculty, we have here many Muslims, many Christians, and 32 Jewish men and women working with us and for us, because we want to make of our socio-political affiliation a kind of challenge rather than kind of contradiction. And in fact, I am a Palestinian, a proud Palestinian, an Arab, not less proud, a Christian, and a citizen of the State of Israel. From outside, for the first look, they seem to be in full contradiction and not reconcilable together, which is, humanly speaking, almost possible. But in fact, the reality is different. These different facets are completing each other and fulfilling the beauty of each other. And so we try to have as our motto a unity within the diversity. That means we all together work towards some common future goal that would serve everybody, that would enhance the particularity of everybody. But we do not underestimate the importance of personal and community private characters. So this is what we mean by unity within diversity, and it is working, and it can work much better. If we had a little bit more money, it will work 100 times better. But maybe because we don't have money, we stick to the values and to the goal and to the vision that we have established for ourselves, and we don't have anything else to stick to. That's why it's successful.
It's taken many years to achieve this, and not without some difficulty. You originally weren't given a building permit.
The past had so many contentious of garbage, of stinky things, whether our deportation, our eviction from home after we received the Jewish soldiers, whether it is the fact that we became second-class citizen, and also the fact that I was never able to obtain any building permit, so I had to go against the law and build without building permits. All that is the past. I have much more things to do now, presently, and in order to bring our children together to write the common history they want for themselves, for the future.
Amen. I agree with thee.
You cannot disagree with me, otherwise you will be wrong.
The war in Lebanon this past year, things have been very difficult even for Arab villages.
No matter how difficult the situation during the war in Lebanon was for us, it is nothing comparable to what it was for the South Lebanon people, who saw their homes demolished systematically, 15,000 buildings demolished, who witnessed the immigration or the escape of 1 million citizens towards the north. Here we were scared, we were very scared. We had some damage from my diocese. I had 10 people who died. It's very serious, it's dramatic. But nothing to compare with those in South Lebanon who, when they died, they had nobody to bury them. They were thrown in the streets till they decayed. So, is it a consolation? No. But it is a reason to be grateful that things did not go worse than they went.
That was a beautiful song from a female California trio, Not About Us and Have Mercy. Now a bit more of that interview with Abuna Elias.
From your viewpoint as a Palestinian Israeli Arab, there's been a lot of corruption in a land that's supposed to be honouring the Bible. What would be your perspective on that?
You have a free choice. It's not God who orders you to go to war. When you go to war, you go against God's will. Because there is no just war, there are just wars. Yeah? So we needed someone, I needed someone like Jesus Christ, who while hanging on the cross was able not to call for vengeance or settling accounts, but he looked at those who crucified him and said, "Ah, poor day, Father, forgive them, they don't know what to do." This is a totally different view. The Bible is not any book, it's a very special book. You can find in the Bible everything you look for. But the attitude to read the Bible should not for you to go and look for what you need, but to read the Bible and to be disponible, to be ready to accept what you discover. And that's a totally different way. What do you mean by the Bible? If you are a Jew, you speak about the Jewish Bible, which does not in any way include anything from the New Testament. When you are a Christian, you speak about your Bible, but you understand mainly the New Testament and the other Testament, Jewish Testament, as a light that helps you to understand the new one. All is different position, depends who you are, what are you looking for, how do you read the Bible. We Christians, for example, I think, should not be allowed to start reading the Bible beginning with Genesis. You can do that you want, but you read Genesis, go into Exodus, and you will get lost for 40 years. And you will never reach the 3 years when the man from Galilee would be preaching something absolutely new and unique. That's why we Christians, we have to start reading the Bible after everything has been accomplished and fulfilled. I mean, the day after the day of the Pentecost, when we receive the Holy Spirit, to understand and believe that Christ is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. So far, so good. You go to these prophets and these laws, where are they? In the so-called Jewish Bible. You take the Jewish Bible and you upgrade it to make of it an Old Testament. Isn't it an insult already for our Jewish brothers and sisters? They don't need their Bible to be upgraded. They need their Bible to be continued, which means their history to continue. And we say, no, it stopped, and something new has started. Where is the truth? I think neither there nor here. It's in between. We are called, both by the Bible and the New Testament, to work together, to have compassion to each other, and to wait till the Lord appears. He will tell us whether He came or He's returning. Why should we fight for something we cannot decide ourselves?
Red News International.
In this bulletin, Slumdog inspired us to set up an Indian orphanage and a church that is truly on fire in the city of Jericho. Terry McCulloch reports.
In a report from the International Christian Embassy in Jerusalem, Lena Kaczynski states that the world's oldest and lowest city, Jericho, in recent years has become a sleepy enclave isolated from the terror hotbeds in the West Bank. It's hot, dusty, and poor, to be sure, but this desert oasis is showing signs of life again, thanks to a courageous woman pastor driven by a calling to win the city for God. Prior to arriving in Israel, Karen Dunham was living comfortably as a single mum and an assistant pastor, and had just been offered her own show on a Christian television network in San Diego. Dunham, however, did not feel at peace with the plans. Instead, she felt an overwhelming desire to travel to Israel and pray. When she returned to Jerusalem in 2002, a Catholic priest stopped her on the street in the old city with an unexpected message. "If you go to Jericho and feed the people, you can win the city for Christ," he told her. The words burned in her spirit unlike anything she'd ever experienced before. Everything inside of me immediately started screaming Jericho, Dunham recalls. In all my life, working in soup kitchens and ministering around the world, no one ever told me I could win a city for God. Dunham and her son opened their home to the Arabs, handing out bags of rice with tracts inside to those who came for prayer and Bible teachings. Between 40 and 50 local residents piled into my house every day, she says. They never wanted to leave. She also regularly played the Jesus video in her garage. Soon, local Palestinian policemen from the tourism office came knocking on her door, asking for help with their English. She agreed, as long as they were willing to study the Bible as well. The commanding officer's approval of Dunham finally made it acceptable for anyone to attend her Bible studies, and Living Bread Church was born. After its home in a refugee camp was burned down, Living Bread Church relocated to a restaurant owned by traditional Arab Christians. Meetings are now twice as full. The dire poverty in Jericho is enough to intimidate even the most well-meaning person. We realise that hungry neighbours are angry neighbours, says Dunham. If we feed Palestinians, they will experience love from Christians, and then Israel will have happy neighbours.
A County Armagh and Northern Ireland couple have been so moved by the multi-Oscar-winning film Slumdog Millionaire that they are setting up their own orphanage in Southeast India. Janet and Nelson Thomas Raja have given themselves an 18-month timetable to uproot themselves from their cosy life in Portadown and create an orphanage for at least 10 street children and raise them as their own. Nelson, a residential social worker in a children's home, hails from the Madras area, which the caring couple have earmarked to establish their orphanage. And Janet, a paediatric nurse at Craigavon Area Hospital, has been in Southeast India several times, helping Nelson's family, who are involved in running three orphanages in Madras, which cater for 100 children. We aren't going out blind by any means, said Janet. We've been toying with the idea of our very own orphanage, and when we saw Slumdog Millionaire, which highlights the plight of the street children in India, that was the catalyst we needed to go and do it. Children in India are often purposely blinded by adults and have their limbs broken and then banished to the streets to beg. It's almost impossible to believe to us Westerners, but it happens.
More information on these and other brand new stories at kingdomcome.org.uk/news.
Now back to the man of Galilee, Elias Shakur.
You are in a unique position and you live in the Galilee. You were born in the Galilee and you grew up where Jesus walked and where he taught. That must give you a very unique perspective on the New
this
Testament.
This is somehow true. We never get used to the fact that he was here not very long ago. It's only 2,000 years ago. Maybe for Americans and Western people, 2,000 years are such a long time. But for us Orientals, 2,000 years are like the day before yesterday. We still smell his presence, feel his presence, remember his saying, hear what he said. He is constantly present to us. But it should not be only for us here in Galilee, because I do believe whenever, wherever you meet together two or three and pray in his name, that land becomes a holy land. So make your country, whether it's Arizona or California, or Boston, or Texas, or Idaho, make of them holy land.
Obviously you believe in education as a way of setting people free.
Is there anything else more important than education? Isn't that the main reason why Christ became man? Wasn't it to educate us, to get to know who God is and how much God loves us? This is very important.
So, school, the third level, college, beautiful church and auditorium. Last time I came, that was all new. And now, a university.
Yeah.
So what stage is the university at? I believe there are changes in the legal position.
Well, we don't have a real university so far. Although we started the academic studies 4 years ago, and we are entitled to give a BSc in the different majors we teach, but we are still struggling with some Israeli authorities to have the full accreditation and the acknowledgement that we are entitled to become a full-fledged Israeli university. But nonetheless, we have much hope that things will go well. because all depends, and as they say in French, the one who laughs really laughs at the end. And you need to have perseverance. We have a very, very strong sense of perseverance. We will never give up till we reach the goal to be recognized in Israel as a full-fledged Arab Israeli Christian university, where young Jews and young Arabs of different religions may come and find their place ready to welcome them. This is our vision, this is our struggle, this is our goal, and this is what will be fulfilled hopefully very soon. Yeah? Because we have to keep in mind this simple reality that there is no such thing called Israeli policy, or there is no such thing called the Jews are so and so. There are so many policies in Israel. There are so many Jews in Israel. Whenever you might meet two of them, whether they are Jews or Palestinians, you have to be ready to face at least three opinions, if not more. So we have sympathetic Jews, Jews who sympathize with us, who share our vision, who struggle for the achievement of our goal. And we did not lose hope so far, and we'll never lose hope, even after 2,000 years. We'll keep the hope light and the dream alive.
After I last spoke to you and we had a meal together and prayed together, a week later you were appointed Archbishop of Galilee.
Yes.
Which to me seems a fitting honour to your career, but how do you feel about that?
I did not take it first as an honour. The honour is ipso facto accompanying the job. But it's much more a heavy burden, a very heavy burden, to be the head of the largest Christian community in the Holy Land.
Has that given you more authority in terms of your dealing with government and so forth?
Yeah, surely that gave me indescribable authority, because I can call the Prime Minister, I can call the Minister, I can call Alibada and say, here is the Archbishop. It's not Abuna, yes, it's the Archbishop, and that sounds somehow more meaningful, more to be given some attention. So it's a different position, and I'm here now still as a refugee because my residence is not ready to receive me. And within 1 week or 10 days I'll be transferred to Haifa, where my residence will be. So if you come next time, you'll not find me here.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Abuna Elias Shakur, the Melkite Archbishop of Galilee. More information about him on our website. We finish off this show with a well-known song, You Raise Me Up, from another local Northern Ireland band, Slemish and Belfast. Enjoy.
Then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up on the mountains, you raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. No life without its hunger. can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be.
You've been listening to In the Name of God from Kingdom Come Trust in Belfast, Northern Ireland. If you would like to contribute to this ministry, go to the partner page under radio on the Kingdom Come Trust website. That's www.kingdomcome.org.uk. You can make a monthly contribution or a one-off gift there. Join us again next week for more music, news, and a Seattle pastor witnessing revival in Indonesia. Join us then. Slán agus spanna tíí. Bye and God bless.